Hello, it's Rain Stops Play with your hosts, Bruce Winwood and Mark Crozer. Yay! All the way from New York City and the Hovel.
Good. Yes, hello.
Thank you, and good night.
Here we go. Right. Mark's actually in the driving seat for this one, aren't you? Because you've chosen the tunes this week. So you've chosen today's tunes. This week's show has tunes have come back. Sometimes we have tunes, sometimes we don't. Sometimes people like that, sometimes people don't. We just don't really know what to do, really, do we?
Who doesn't like it? Tell me who it is. I'll go around and kick their fucking head in.
No, don't do that, because we can't afford to lose listeners due to that sort of behaviour, Mark.
Well, so I'll tell you what we started off with, and
what was it?
It was Paul McCartney and Beck off his new album, McCartney 3 Imagined, with a song called Find My Way.
Did you enjoy the album? I haven't listened to it. You like it? Do you?
I tell you what, I thought he did this McCartney 3 album in December. I thought it was all right, but then he's just released a newly imagined version of it already with a load of guests on it, and it's really good. So I like that.
Better. Do you prefer better with a
guest?
Yeah,
I think it's a bit more interesting, a bit more modern sounding. And that's off that one, that is.
Yeah.
So there we
go. Thank you very much. So what have you got for us today, Mark? I think you've done some prep. See, last week you prepped
something. I have, but the thing is, my prep was more, these are more sort of things to fill in time with if we don't have anything else to talk about. It's not like there is any major interesting thing.
I thought you might have something major and interesting.
Well, there's one thing I want to talk about. I suppose it is potentially a bit of a rant.
Go on then. I was going to rant about the fact that you're ranting.
Oh.
Do you have to rant? No, go on then.
It's not. I mean,
are we starting with a rant?
It's more of a sort of. It's not something like a serious rant.
Go on then.
Right. So, you know, on Facebook and Instagram and that kind of thing, you get a lot of ads popping up these days.
Oh, lordy, yes.
And then you can hide the ad. You can click on hide ad. Mm. And then it pops up with this thing that says, ad hidden. Please tell us why you hid this ad. And it gives you choices to select repetitive, irrelevant, already purchased, knows too much, too personal, sensitive topic. Well, I want to know, how do they arrive at those particular options? Because to me, those are all just stupid.
Yes.
Really. Like, what is it, irrelevant? Why can't they just have one that says, I don't want to see this ad?
I'm not interested in
buying this shitty product. Or I'm not interested. Surely that would be your first thing. Not interested.
Yeah.
Not like, knows too much. What does that mean, knows too much?
Yes. Isn't it just a way, if you don't click on it, do you have to click on it for them to get rid of it? Or if you don't click on it, what happens?
You don't have to click on it. You can hide the ad and then it'll just hide anyway.
Right.
Even if you just close that report thing out. But I just find it weird. Sensitive topic. Yes, right. Too personal. Knows too much.
Well, it's just annoying, isn't it? I mean, anything like that, it's just annoying. It's just the annoyance of things popping up and you just want to get... It's getting very confused. I tell you what, for Facebook, it's getting quite exhausting, really. We've threatened many times to give up, haven't we, with Facebook? What I've been having recently, and I've just clicked on one now, I've just had a sudden attack of young ladies...
Beg your pardon?
Young ladies wanting to be my friend.
Really? What have you been looking at then?
I haven't been looking at anything. This is my point. I haven't been looking. Seriously, hand on heart, haven't been looking at any sites where they can go, oh yeah, well, we'll get there. Honestly, haven't been doing any of that. I'm not just saying that. It's true. So recently had a lot of people trying to defraud me via texts and things on my phone and everything else like that. People phoning up the house trying to defraud you. People online trying to. It's very boring. Just a sudden attack of this. And now, say for example, here we got Arlene Lempke. Hello, Arlene.
Lempke.
L-E-M-K-E. So, hello, Arlene. Hello, Arlene. That was that Arlene, that song?
Go on, Arlene.
Anyway, so she's one of many, and I just keep, they pop up and I go, no, I don't want to be your friend. But anyway, so she sent this one, for example. It's very colourful. It says, hello. Now, see,
hello, sailor.
This is already very funny because she sent this thing saying, hello.
Yeah.
Okay. And then instead of writing all the word, now baby has four letters in it. Yeah. Obviously, B A B Y. But she's put B B Y. So, I mean, that's a ridiculous abbreviation, isn't it?
It is a bit.
Because,
yeah.
Can't be bothered to put that vowel in there. You haven't got enough time to put an A into baby. So it says Bibi. Hello, Bibi. And then there's lots of kisses and little pictures. I am an online prostitute, which is nice. Call me on WhatsApp and I will show you my, well, I won't say, it's not very nice. But also that's misspelled. It's got far too many S's in it. Arlene, it doesn't have that many S's in it. For goodness sake, we have this thing called Grammarly. You can run this through Grammarly before you send it to me.
Yeah.
That does not have three S's and two Y's at the end. Nothing has two Y's at the end. No, I don't think anything does in any language. What are you doing? And then there's lots of happy faces and crying faces. And it's like she's...
Crying faces.
Well, I don't know. It's just like she's hit every fucking emoji going at the end of it. And then there's a link. And obviously, I haven't clicked on the link. But that's just... So grammar, no. Grammar, shit. Laziness, hello, baby. I mean, if your grammar,
hello, baby,
Eileen, had been even remotely on the mark or something was quite witty or pertinent about your message, I might have replied and said, thank you, Arlene, for contacting me. I very kind of you to contact me. I'm not interested in dealing with an online prostitute, but your message was polite and it was pithy and it was quite witty and the grammar was wonderful. So just well done on those front. But no, thank you, but no. But because it's such a disaster when it comes to grammar, that's just ridiculous. I've got one or two more here that, oh, God, they just come. See, they pile in when you're not... I mean, I just keep blocking these things, and then you kind of go, oh, geez, another one's just...
I keep getting the one about, you know, penis, grow your penis. Husband caught his wife riding a 15-inch African manhood.
So you keep getting the same one. So my question to you, sir, is that what sites do you keep going back to?
No, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's like from different email addresses or whatever, and, you know.
Right.
And then... yeah, penis 15 inch with like flames in the like flame emoji. Grow your penis up to 7 inches with African elongation ritual. Exclamation.
It's actually.
And then there's like a picture of, for some reason, a picture of an emoji of an ear of corn. Oh, that's funny. Ear of corn. I wonder if it's to do with the ear of corn.
Huh. Well, that's quite imaginative, though, isn't it? It's poetic.
Yeah, well.
It's quite poetic, isn't it? An ear of corn. Get your penis enlarged to the size of an ear of corn. I don't know. Ears of corn are smaller than penises, I think, generally, aren't they? They're not very big ears of corn. An ear of corn, it's just the top of the corn.
It's like the whole thing, that an ear of corn is like the whole...
Oh, is it the whole thing? Oh, okay. Thing. All right. I thought it was just the bit at the end.
How big's your cock?
No. No, the corn. I'm talking about corn. I'm talking about cocks here. I'm talking about an ear of corn. Ear is just the bit at the end, isn't it?
I think the ear is the end of the whole thing. Like the thing you eat. The thing you, you know. Right.
Oh, yes, but that corn, that thing you eat, isn't massive. It's just the bit at the end. They harvest those. They break those off. They're only about that long. The actual ear of corn. It's not the whole thing.
Bruce is now demonstrating about 10 inches in length, just so you know.
So, well, that's nothing.
Clearly.
Nothing. Absolutely
something's
nothing.
Going on there.
Anyway, back to, I've got another one here. Now, this one is from Malt. Oh. Hello, welcome to the show, Motolokia. Oh, bloody hell, I can't spell it. Ratiputes. Ratiputz. Ratiputes. So anyway, dating site, and again, lots of emojis. Mm. It's just kind of like this. Whatever machine she's using just vomits out emojis. Naughty slut, and then that's it. Dating site, naughty slut, very very lazy, and then there's a link.
Well,
so she hasn't. She's made less effort than Eileen, who's actually invited me. Call me on WhatsApp, says Eileen, and I will show you my something with too many S's and Y's in. But Monitor just says, dating site. It's like, dating site, naughty slut, click here. She doesn't even say click here. There's no invitation to click. It's just a link.
Yeah.
It's just a link. There's no invitation. Or even, please click here.
Would you mind awfully?
Would you mind to
look at my
here?
Lovely website where you can look at my enormous
lazy
prestige.
So you, sorry, too lazy.
Well,
do it anyway.
I think that's enough about all that. Let's have another song, shall we?
Yeah.
And this is a band called Tops, and the song's called I Feel Alive. What have you got then? What have you got, Lynn? Have you got anything exciting to share today?
Well, I think the one thing I would say, have I talked about the fact I had my tune on the radio? Did we do that last week?
I don't think we did. We talked about it put together in personal conversation.
How remiss. Well, yeah. I had a tune which I wrote, you know, that tune Cat's Creed. My nod towards Bacharach. But Bacharach type music, and I did a little tune, a bit inspired by one of, you know, him, his tunes, and I sent it to local radio station BBC Radio Oxford, and they played it on one of their shows, and that was very nice. I had a bit of a thrill, to be honest. I'm a bit scared, to be honest, because I thought, oh shit, I'm actually going to play it, and I'm singing on it, so you know, as we've probably discussed before, I'm not 100% confident of my singing voice, but anyway, I was very chuffed. So that was fun.
And I should, you should send that new one that you sent me last week, definitely, because that I think is really very nice, and the singing is really spot on as well.
It's unusually.
Well, I think you found it. It seems to me like when I heard it, I thought, you kind of found your voice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you found the right. Key.
Yeah.
And
key,
the right sort of approach. And it was really, really good.
No, I was very pleased that you liked
it. It was really,
that.
Really good. I did genuinely really like it.
Yes. No, I like doing that song. And but yes, I will send it to them. They probably won't send. They probably say that's enough. You can't. Like, when are you Winwood? You can't. This is not your own personal radio station. You can't keep it back. But I will send it to them. Because I like to do that one too. But it's funny, isn't it? Because when you've written something, you've done something, and then you think, oh, that worked out quite well. And then the next day or so, you go back to the piano and you think, oh, maybe something else will plop out, and nothing turns up.
Yes.
And
funny.
You go, oh, that's probably it.
No.
That's probably nothing left else. Nothing left in the...
Well, I feel that way every single time I write anything. I think that's... I'm always surprised when it happens because I sit down.
Yeah.
I've been working on a song for the last few days that I've kind of finished, but I've got to the point where I've worked on it a lot and listened to it a lot that I actually now really, really dislike it. I was going to send it to you to see what you think, because I've got to the point where I think, like, God, this is terrible. But
that's another problem, is basically falling in love with something you're doing and then falling very quickly out of love with it and losing all our objectivity. Send it. Please send it to me. I mean, I'm not the grand arbiter of all taste, but I can give you an honest answer to it.
Yeah.
Don't just bin it. See, the thing is, well,
I'll just put it to the side for a bit, probably.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for doing that, is putting stuff to the side and then come back and go, actually, that's all right.
I was right. It's total shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we can become very bad judges of our own stuff if we're not careful. If we can over-examine and pull apart. But so I was I was pleased about that. It was just kind of fun to do that and to get it on the radio. In fact, I was talking to my friend Ivor. I was in this band with back in my 20s, and we were desperately unsuccessful. But we did have one of the songs played on Norwich, BBC Norwich. And I said to Ivor on the phone, this shows my age in a lot more ways than ones, because I said to Ivor, oh, I was quite excited because I had a little tune played on local on BBC radio. I said, I was excited because it's the first time ever I've had a singy tune played on radio. And he said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. He said, no, because you have one of your songs played up on Radio Knowledge, BBC Knowledge, from, and I completely forgotten.
Right.
He said, well, you Donut, you had that song played. Did I? Yeah. I thought, oh, fucking hell, I got so old now.
What was that song
called? I can't remember. He said, I'm not sure if he can remember what song it was. But he said, you definitely have one song played on this album we did together.
Right.
I think it was "And Where Is the Justice?" I think that was the name of the song.
Oh God, that sounds quite
Yeah
serious.
I think it's during the Christian Christian days. So there was a bit of a moral message in there somewhere. Well, not more, you know, it was a sort of song that had a very strong moral message, probably sort of message to ram down non-Christians' throats or something. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, and I don't. The weird thing is, just not having any memory of that experience, or even so, I must have been thrilled at the time, but I have no memory of being thrilled, or even that it was on the radio.
Yeah. That's funny.
You know that Anti-Love had our sponsor of our show, well, one of our sponsors, Anti-Love. You know he had with their band, they had their, it was a John Peel, played their song, well, played their A side of the single they had three times and the B side once.
So I did not know that. What band was that? I didn't even know he was in a band.
He had four players. Yeah, back in the... No, it was a long time ago. Because He's back a long time ago. It's awful. I forgot the name of the band. He's probably going to listen to this go. How many times have I told you the name of the band? So four plays. And also, I think he had Hugh Pagnum?
Hugh Pagnum.
Pagnum, who produced lots of famous people like The Police through to whatever. I think he said that... Hugh Pagnum was interested in the band, and it all looked very exciting. It was all going to go off and become successful. I know. And
I didn't know that at all.
No, I know. I know, because he keeps these things quite. Well, he's not like me. He isn't going. Look what I've done.
Look at me.
Look what I did. But four times on John Peel's Radio One. And for those of you who don't know the show, he was a very cult.
I think everybody knows John Peel, don't they?
Well, but in America they might not. But he was a big cult BBC Radio 1 DJ back in the day.
They know him over here in America.
Do they?
Yeah.
John Peel. Oh, there we go.
Good.
Do we answer? Oh, yeah, sorry. Is it time for a tune?
What was the question?
No, we just have one. No, you asked me anything else. Oh, yeah, the other thing I was going to say. Well, no, you say about your thing now, your rant. What? You've done your rant. See, my memory's getting even worse now.
Let's have another little tune.
Yeah.
Little tune, and then we'll come back to that. And up next, it's a song from the last Monkees album called Good Times. This is a song called Me and Magdalena.
Now, Mark, I think we mentioned this before, but that wasn't... So that's the Monkees, but there was the new Monkees, the revised Monkees, that album wasn't there.
That's the one. Good Times.
That's the one.
It came out about 5 years ago.
5 years, and that was the one they considered one of your songs for, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seems like I played that tune just to tell you that story.
No, it's not. But I just remembered the story.
Yeah. That was the song that my song Bubblegum.
Yeah,
that I had was under consideration. Well, in fact, I thought it was more than under consideration. Because the producer, really liked it and sounded like they were going to do it. But the most annoying thing is that so they did that album, right?
Hmm.
My song didn't make it because they had all these other big name songwriters who got on board. But then a couple of years later, they did a Christmas record, right? And Brian, my friend Brian, who plays drums in the Jesus Mary Chain, was also playing drums on that album. And he asked me if I had any Christmas songs, and I'd sent him a couple of the Christmas songs I'd written. And then he called me one day. I was just on my way to get Ruby from school. He called me, and I didn't take the phone call because I thought, I'll call him back later. And then I didn't. And I called him back a few days later and I said, oh, sorry, Mr. Cole, what was it about? And he's like, well, it was about the Monkees record, but it's finished now. It's too late. So second time I had a chance of, I think they were going to work on one of the songs I'd sent. And then because I dropped the ball and didn't get back to him about it because I missed my chance a second time. So
hang on. So you effectively had two songs.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
For two different records, so they did that was their Christmas record.
Wow.
I was a bit annoyed about that for a few days with myself for dropping. So you can't drop the ball. You got to when these things come up, you just got to jump right away.
Ah, dear. Well, yeah. Now I've got it's a bit of a creative theme. This was kind of rare for us to actually talk about what we actually do, isn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But talking of timing and everything else like that, so coming up in a couple of days' time is this big meeting for this project that obviously you've contributed to, this TV project, with a commissioner over here in the UK. And we don't know, well, we have no idea how it's going to go. I mean, it's good that they want a meeting with us and they like what we've done, but we just don't know beyond that. So that's, this comes around every few years, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Tease of Possibility, I believe we were calling it.
The Tease of Possibility was the name of one of our podcasts from the Earcorn days, the Tease of Possibility. So the Tease of Possibility has swung round again. But I was talking again to my friend Ivor about that, and again saying that it's on paper, it could be, you know, it's looking positive. But I can't get excited anymore. I mean, I got excited by the fact that my tune played on radio.
Yeah.
I got excited by that. That was just, you know, make a song, went out there, they liked it, and the DJ something said something nice about it, and that was quite exciting. But on these really big things like this, big TV project, with a budget in its millions of pounds, then I can't get my head around it. And also because I've kind of been in this arena before, and you kind of, I know it's protecting yourself against disappointment.
Right.
But I don't know, I can't do it. So it's coming up a couple of days' time, and I just hope it isn't a meeting that you come out of and you feel quite nice about, but it doesn't lead anywhere. I want to think, come out of the meeting, go, oh, actually that does look like it's definitely going to go somewhere. And we have other people we can go to. So if it doesn't work out with this particular broadcaster, then we have other people to go to. But I don't know what it's a teaser possibility. I just don't feel, anything really.
Yeah. It's probably good to feel that way, because you don't want to get excited, because, like, say, then it's disappointing if nothing comes of it. But at the same time, you don't want to be pessimistic, because it's just good to sort of try to remain neutral. And it's funny that, isn't it? I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, because you can be excited. Yeah, I mean, anybody apart from
really involved
apart
in
from
it,
me, apart from me and James, who are right in the middle of this. Yeah. I think James feels the same as me. It's kind of like, you know, we can't. You know, we know we're in a good place, and we've worked. And what's nice, regardless of what happens to this project, because it could go the way of others, but is that this person, who's a fairly big cheese in this world, apparently just very effusive. Because she spoke to our exec producer about it, first of all, and our exec producer, and was quite effusive about it, saying, and very impressed with the work we've done on it. So I think we have done the best. You know, we put so much work into the pitch, and it's kind of the for this thing, it's taken. And you know, it's coming up to 2 years ago that James and I hatched this idea.
Really?
It was the summer.
It was that long ago.
It was August 2019 that we came up with this idea. And then we put together the first pitch package, and then at the pitch thing, then got some grant money and blah, 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 blah. Mm. And it developed. But so this extraordinary timescales, you get sucked into extraordinary timescales on things where you kind of go, wow. And if it gets made, we won't make it probably might not even start making it till next year. Funny old game.
Yeah, it's a long process, isn't it?
Ah, slightly mad. But go on.
I'm just curious to know. Like, this is just a hypothesis. Let's say, right, you're in the meeting, and this person says, "Really like this.
Yeah,
we can't make it, but I want you to come and work for me."
I see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're really impressed with the work you've done, and there's this opening, and I think you'd be a good fit for it. I wonder whether
you'd be interested. I suppose maybe another sort of. I have no idea if that. I suppose anything can happen. Don't know. I mean, no one's ever done that. Mm. No one's ever said that to me personally. Oh, come and work for us because we like what you do. I've always been involved in my own projects. I mean, I think some of it is how you're perceived as well, because you're perceived to be someone who just comes up with stuff and then you work with people in a co-production or something like that. But to go and work for somebody, I don't think I've ever worked for anybody like that before, like full time. But why did you say that anyway? What prompted that?
I don't know. I was just thinking, because often things don't quite go the way you think they will. But
oh yeah, but they never go the way you think.
Sometimes things really good
come
things
out of come something. Out of yeah,
something,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, totally unexpected.
It was quite funny because I was thinking, like, if it's going to go along the lines of love this, but we can't do anything with it. Have you got anything else? And then you kind of go, oh. And actually, for this particular commissioner, we probably haven't got something exactly that would fit.
It just seems like that is so unlikely in this situation. You know,
go on.
My sort of feeling is that if they were very effusive about it and really impressed and they want to have a meeting, I can't imagine somebody would just want to have a meeting to say, well done, well done, thank you so much. I really enjoyed that.
I suppose not.
On you go, on your bike.
We'll find out.
It just seems unlikely that that would, but anyway, that's just.
I think that's just because that's my default head, having been in a situation or similar situations a few times in the last 20 years. Then my head immediately goes to a situation which I think is like, we know that they're quite effusive about it. However, probably you almost think about the first negative thing in a funny sense. You think it could easily just be this. It could just be that. I think that's part of self-protection. You're protecting yourself. You can't afford to get really excited. I can't.
Yeah, of course.
I can't afford to get excited about it, really. Because I've been excited before about projects and then it really fucking hurts.
Yeah.
When it doesn't quite work.
I know.
So there is something to be said for going steady.
Absolutely.
At this point. Another song?
Let's have another song.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, this is a band that I've played quite a few times on my radio show. They're from Sheffield, who are, and I really, really like them a lot. And it's a band called Dead Slow Hoot. And it's a song called Taller Tree.
Wow.
Very good, that.
So where are they from?
Sheffield.
And how do you know them? Just literally through you stumbled.
I don't even remember how I came across them. It was probably some. I think it was like a music blog website a couple of months ago, and I think they're really interesting.
It's exciting finding people, isn't it? That you've not really heard before, and then you go, "Wow, that's really." I mean,
then Hester liked it, and then ended up writing a review of their new thing for her.
For her magazine
thing that she does, so
that's good, isn't it? Well, that's even lovelier how that happens. Good, thank you. So should we have a little bit of hooky action?
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cue the old jingle.
On the hook with Simon Hook, his questions we do slay, unrinsed up slay.
Okay, again, Hooky, as you can imagine, he's really going for the short and sweets. Short and sweet questions.
Short and sweets.
So actually, last week it was only four words, and we burbled on for about 10 hours about that one. But anyway, this might be harder, more trickier to talk too long about.
Okay.
So here we go. Why does shoe polish smell like parsnips? Mark.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I haven't smelt shoe polish since I was a teenager. Because I generally don't polish shoes, or don't even have the kind of shoes that need polishing.
Yeah. You haven't smelt it since you were a teenager because you used to go around trying to smell everything, like glue and everything else, to try.
No,
and get
I think
high.
it's because my dad had shoe polish.
Oh, okay.
And yes, probably. And I remember thinking, oh, I like the smell of that.
Yeah,
but and then occasionally I would open up the tin and give it a good sniff because I thought, whoa, that's quite a good scent.
And that led on to solvents. And then
before you knew it, I was on the tin a day.
You're on a Yoo-hoo.
And couldn't stop eating parsnips.
Gorilla Glue.
Yeah, glue, bag of glue down the sellotape, recreation ground.
Sellotape's got its own particular smell as well. Who knows? It's quite subtle.
Yeah.
It tastes good too, sellotape. I think in America, what do they call it in America? They don't call it sellotape. That's the brand in the UK. What is it called? What would you call sellotape in America? Sticky tape?
I think they just call it Scotch tape, which Scotch. Is another brand.
Oh, okay, Scotch. Oh, that's America, yeah.
Well,
okay.
Scotch. Scotch tape. Scotch yes. tape. I like the smell of shoe polish a lot, mm-hmm. and I could, you know, definitely get through some of that, but I've never, ever, ever thought it smells like parsnips.
No.
I don't know what on earth he's going on about there.
No.
Or unless he's been eating some, like, mouldy old parsnips and not realising that they're past their sell-by date.
Sell-by date and things, yeah. That could be possible. Maybe he makes his own shoe polish out of parsnips.
Yeah.
Or hang on. Maybe he made... No, he made a big batch of them a few years ago out of parsnips. Yeah. And forgot. And then he's just rediscovered them in the back of the cupboard and he's got them out. He goes, oh, they smell like parsnips. Forgotten that he actually made them out of parsnips.
Yeah.
Or, go on, what's your thought on it? I saw thoughts spring up in your head then. Do it.
He might have gone to the shop, right, when he was a child.
Yes.
And for a joke, put a parsnip in the shoe polish little cubby hole in the in the shop where the shoe polish goes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll get some shoe polish. Because that's how he speaks.
Walks out.
And he got that.
Walks out with a parsnip.
And he's like, thought, and he's all these years has thought that a parsnip is shoe polish.
Shoe polish. That could have happened.
I think
that
could we're going to have to break it to him that he's mistaken.
Yeah.
Because they're very, very different products.
I have to say, Simon, I don't think anybody thinks shoe polish smells like parsnips. I don't know what shoe polish you... Maybe he's buying really cheap shoe polish. I bet if you get the really cheap stuff, it's gonna smell a bit weird. It's gonna smell a bit parsnippy.
Yeah.
He needs to get a Waitrose and see what proper posh shoe polish smells like, not the cheapo Tesco's brand stuff.
Do you use shoe polish?
No, I haven't. But it's interesting, isn't it? I haven't for years because I've not had to polish shoes.
I don't see the point of it really.
No, but I did. Well, just because it makes your shiny
shoes. You can just
get
like a
shiny
damp sponge.
Yeah, well, this is it. So I started off using shoe polish, right? And then buffing it. So you put the polish on. I quite like the buffing bit. You get the brush and you buff it.
Right.
And that's quite fun. And then I think over time I ended up, you know, I just didn't have jobs where you needed shoe polish. I mean, I needed to have shiny shoes. So it's like, so I don't wear shiny shoes anymore. So I haven't polished anything for a while, but I had the kit. I had the little wooden box and you have the shoe polish or two or three different shoe polish for brown or black or red shoes, whatever you got. You're for your clown shoes, the red. And then you've got the brushes, the little brushes to buff it all up. And you've got the rag to do that. So I had the little box, and the box would go under the sink, so that was quite fun. But there's been no need for it, so I haven't polished shoes. And I do what you say now. If I have, very occasionally, if there's been a wedding or something, you get out your old shoes you never, ever would normally wear, and you just sort of rub them on something, and it makes it look slightly less dusty.
Yeah. Yes, my dad had all those kind of things, like shoe polish kit, like a proper little shaving kit with a shaving mirror and... electric razor with all the bits that you could and I was always quite fascinated by all that stuff because I don't have any of those things.
No,
you know, I use a parsnip to shave with sharpened parsnip.
Yes, and then of course it's very it's just good sustainable, isn't it? So you've shaved and then you can eat it and then that's
could do
circular life. Next tune please. Tune Meister.
All right then. Next tune.
Yeah.
This is a band called The Weather Station, and the song is called Parking Lot. And you'll like it.
Very good. Are these people that you've discovered as well? I've never heard of
them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Recently discovered on whatever website.
Excellent.
Might have even been just through the Spotify recommended playlist. Yeah.
And how are they doing? Do we know how they're doing?
Doing very well. They send their regards.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good to have regards sent. I reciprocate those regards sent too. Good. So what else you got on your list?
All right.
Well, come on, yeah. Get your list out.
I'm going to give you a... I'm getting my glasses on now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got them stuck. They're stuck. There we go.
Yeah.
I've got some copies of Private Eye here. I've got three news stories.
Yeah.
And I want you to pick one. All right?
Yeah.
One is space related.
Mm-hmm.
One is about a new coffee craze in the Middle East. And the other is about... prisons. Which would you like?
So the first one is what? Space?
Space related.
I love space. I want space, please. Space.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
So I shall read this out then. This is a good... And bear this in mind. For my birthday, I want you to buy me
when
this.
When are you having a birthday?
Not till January, but I'm giving you notice now that you've got time to save up because it's quite
for
expensive.
What?
To buy
what?
Me this... Oh, okay. Buy me this special package, right?
All right, yeah.
There is a rising demand for photographs taken from outer space. This is from Japan. Chief Business Officer Ryo Yasukawa told reporters in Mito near Tokyo, "Our new service will cater to it. Starting in the spring, Space Balloon Inc. will launch balloons equipped with remote-controlled cameras and carrying objects chosen by customers. The balloon will travel to an altitude of 25,000 meters above sea level, then take photos against the backdrop of Earth and outer space to give the impression that the items are floating in space."
That the items are floating in space?
Yeah, so you can send up something you love, like, you know, pet, hamster, or I don't know, photograph of your girlfriend, or whatever, like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And it's only 550,000 yen, which is... £3,650.
Mm-hmm.
Each customer can submit an item weighing up to 250 grams. Hamster, probably just about.
Mm.
And they'll receive 10 photos and video footage of the object floating in space.
Wow.
The balloon is inflated with helium, and after ascending and taking the photos, the camera container and objects will parachute down into the Pacific Ocean for recovery.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Tracking devices are built into the container. During the test run in September, they successfully took photos and videos of fermented soybeans wrapped in rice and recovered them. Rice straw, sorry. We expect high demand because dozens of companies, schools and individuals have already contacted us asking to send a variety of items into space, mostly toys and dolls. So there's a good idea for a birthday present.
Well, I mean, I'm already, because that's my way my mind works, I'm already thinking, wonderful opportunity for a scam.
Yeah, right.
Because it's so easy to superimpose things on, isn't it? So
yeah, you could create a fake background, like, just from Zoom or something, couldn't you? Oh, yeah, it's in space.
It's in space, there it is, look.
Yeah. And look, we've recovered it from the ocean, here it is, look, so you smell it, salty smelling.
So someone sends the item to you, you charge £3,000, and then you got a bit of green screen, and you get with the Earth in the background. You hold it up in your hand, even, but just make sure your hand's then cropped out of shot. And then I get enough time so that it would have had time to go up and get collected and everything.
Yeah.
And then say, it's £3,000. Here's your picture. Here's your video.
There you go. Yeah, brilliant.
Why do people want to do that? What's wrong with them? I mean, I can understand them wanting to send up maybe ex-girlfriends or something like that. Just to see the expression on their face.
Don't read it back, it's fine.
Jeez! Oh, dear. It's that narcissistic streak, isn't it? Because there'll be people wanting to send up pictures of things that are important to them, and just got the Earth in the background. But at least there'll be it's like a cry of look, I exist and I'm insignificant. I'm significant. Look, there's the world here, and I exist, and it's me. It's something of my stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. You're right. I think it probably is a scam. I hadn't thought about it until now. That it's
good
probably
scam.
Just someone sitting in their bedroom, some teenager. Going to green screen it, charge a load of money for doing absolutely nothing.
It probably isn't an actual scam, but people are going to do it, aren't they? You are going to scam it. I mean, it's so easy to do these days. They could do these deep fakes, can't they?
To make those are quite worrying, aren't they?
They are quite worrying, deep fakes. So it'd be piss easy to do that. Talking of space, watched a... I enjoyed it, but there was one thing in it. Can I talk about it?
I don't know.
There's a film on Netflix. Worth watching, actually. Do you like a bit of sci-fi?
Depends what... Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
often. It's called... it's worth watching. It's called The Stowaway on Netflix. Just
right.
Being out. But there's... watch it before next week. But there's just something in it which you can't really believe. But I'm not going to say what it is. And it's one of those things that you kind of go... When they'd written it, did no one say, somebody might just have a struggle with that particular thing, that particular right. part of the premise. but it's very good. It's a very good act, isn't it? And it's pretty tense, and there's some really good stuff in it, I think. But it's just there's something in the premise. There's something in the setup where you go, oh, did no one say that's just very, very
that shitty. That reminds me of something we were going to talk about that we never got around to talking about, which was that amazing yeah. show, Behind Her Eyes.
Yeah, Behind Her
amazing.
Eyes.
Amazing.
Yeah, talk about it now, quickly. Which, have we not talked about it?
No, we haven't. We were going to, okay. but we never okay, actually
go
did.
Go on, let's do it now.
So it was, a six-part yeah. drama.
Netflix.
And I remember you posting something online saying, like, yeah. it was absolute crap. And I thought, oh, because I'm quite curious. If someone really hates something... Yeah. I think I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
So I watched it, and I was after the first episode. It started off. I thought, okay, well, let's say spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it and you want to watch it, don't listen to the next bit because I'm going to tell you what happens.
Yeah. Go.
Here we go. So this woman meets a man at a bar. They kind of hit it off, but then nothing happens, and then she, in some strange coincidence, ends up working for him. And then all this strange stuff starts to happen. And then the first three episodes, watching it, I thought, actually, I don't understand why Bruce didn't like this. Thing's really good. Mm. And I was quite drawn in.
Mm.
And I thought it was interesting. And then there was suddenly this point where, so there was a whole thing about lucid dreaming is a big part of the plot, right? Which I can buy into because that does...
Astral projection.
But I'm talking about before that. Dreaming, where you can go into your dream and actually control what happens in your dream.
Yes, yes.
Now that is actually something you can do. That's
that's
proven that people can control their dreams. Yeah. However, it then went on to this idea of astral projection, where one of the characters was dreaming, but she was dreaming from the point of view of another character, and I went, "Hang on a second, that's a bit weird." That doesn't seem to fit in with this story at all, which was like a sort of psychological thriller.
Mm.
And then it just got more and more ridiculous. And then I actually got really angry. Yeah. I was watching the last episode and it turned out it was so convoluted that this one character who you thought was the wife of the guy, the main guy, was actually... not who she claimed to be. She was inhabited by the soul or the spirit of this other character who had actually killed her and taken over her body. And it's like, went, fucking, what the fuck is this fucking rubbish? And I was furious. I felt so angry. And I'd let down. Like six hours of my life watching this show. And you've gone and totally turned it into like some utter nonsense bullshit.
It was the point, literally, I was exactly where you were, all the way up to, was it the end of the penultimate episode, or was it the episode where basically they're both laid down there, and he says, or she says, let's try the thing,
where they
switch bodies. And then, she was pink, a little pink, Ghostbuster creature, and he was blue. And I was thinking, well, that's just weird. Anyway, pink and blue, so that you as the viewer could see where they went, so you can make sure that when you watch them, you could see they went into the different bodies, because the pink one went into the blue body and the blue one. But it went really, really Ghostbusters, but not in a good way.
Yes,
it wasn't fun Ghostbusters. It was very stupid, like, little flying sort of spectral things, as you say, and then they popped into each other's body. And so, yeah, you're right. You started with the lucid dreams thing, and then it's almost as if the writer thought, well, that's quite cool, but they get astral projection. And then what if then they swap bodies? Oh, yeah, that's really... And the final bit, though, was, if you remember, when she got drawn to the house where there's the bad spirit inhabiting...
Yeah,
there's the bloke spirit inhabiting the wife of the... Anyway, who cares that shit? Anyway, and she gets drawn there, and then she, and then there's a fire, and she's outside the house, and she can't get through the door, and she thinks the person's, you know, the other person's laid this trap, like the fire, and she's lying there. And then suddenly they have a moment and go, aha, if I now astral project... No, if I leave my body, I can now fly in there and I can save her. But then she gets into the bedroom. And of course, the other person at this point is lying there, the body. But then the sneaky little spectral version of them is hiding in the corner, literally behind her. It's behind her. And then it's just so silly. It's just so stupid. And you think, exactly as you said before, all the stuff that had been built up, all the layering and all the sort of, like, you think, oh, this is interesting, intriguing, blah, blah, blah. And then you just think, oh.
Yes. The thing that annoyed me, that I don't want to go on about too much, but the thing that annoyed me the most, two things, were that because they spent three episodes or four episodes setting up, like you say, all the layering of these, and the characters were quite interesting.
Yeah.
And there was, the guy, the junkie who'd formed a relationship with the woman when they were teenagers or whatever rehab. And he was like, and he was like a very nuanced character. And I thought, oh, that's cool. So the point when suddenly he's revealed to be the baddie, it's like, that makes no sense. That's totally out of keeping with his character that you've created over these last 4 hours.
Yeah,
that he wouldn't behave that way for a start. Let alone the whole astral projecting thing.
He wouldn't kill his friend.
He wouldn't kill this person that he had been shown to actually have deep affection for just because he was jealous that she was married. I mean, it doesn't make
sense. Had a big house, and he fancied him.
He fancied him, and it didn't make any sense.
It was a complete... They should have a warning. I think we said before, they should have a warning. So when they say this show has sex, violence, and also a shitty premise.
Shitty premise, preposterous.
Preposterous, shitty premise.
Very disappointing ending. I know you're generally against those kind of trigger warnings, but in this case, they should have definitely had one.
Yeah. But anyway, watch the thing, and then, because actually, honestly, watch this, because it is entertaining, and it was pretty gripping, but there is something there that you kind of go, it's just quite interesting, you kind of go, oh... How did that? But I don't want to spoil it for you. Watch the film.
Right.
Watch the film. Watch Stairway. All right. Another song. And then
another song. Go this on. Is from Andy Bell from Ride, from his solo album that he just put out recently, with a song called Love Comes in Waves, which is a psychedelic rock classic in my mind already.
Andrew Love. If you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. If you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love.
Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
Enchilente. Does he live in Oxford?
I don't know. I think he might live in London.
Okay.
But he's from Oxford originally,
Originally from Oxford, town.
Oxford.
That's very good.
Yes. That then. What else
do we have to talk about? I mean, I think we're probably heading towards the end of the show now because of this. What's coming up with you, Mark?
Well, funny you should ask, because after nothing at all for such a long time, I've actually now got two session bass recording things coming up. One for a band in Toronto who got in touch with me, who liked me to play bass on a couple of songs. And then Brian, who I mentioned earlier, has just got in touch with me yesterday with a song that he wants me to play bass on for somebody that he's producing. So That's quite exciting.
That's very good. So is that something you can do from your house and you send in the stem?
Just plug it all in, computer, record it here, and then fly it out via the internet.
And do you get paid for this, Mark?
I will.
How lovely. Yes. Music and money, which is always a rare treat. But not so much for you, actually.
I tell you, if I could do this, this is what I would really, really like to do, actually, is just have bands, or musicians, or whatever, just get me to play on their stuff.
Mm.
You know, I charge quite a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
And I could do, like, you know, a couple of those a day.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I don't have to go anywhere at all.
Yeah.
No more touring.
Yes. Gosh, well, that could happen.
I want to, I suppose.
That could happen. Well done for that. The other thing is, I was talking to Angela Jelly. Those of you who follow the show properly, then you'll recall that Mark, Angela, and myself did a series called Eternal Strife, an audio comedy series, which you can get on Spotify and Apple and everything. And we've had quite a few people listening to it, which is rather nice. So I was talking to Angela the other day, and I might start writing the second series now, because I've been putting it off because of pure idleness, because it's hard work writing and then producing. Mark might, if we do this, then Mark's already volunteered, he might help me with the audio producing of it, because it might be all right, but there's lots of sound effects and all manner of stuff you have to do around it. So I might start doing that. I probably definitely will do that. If depends on the TV thing, really. If the TV thing goes into a faster gear, then if it goes into the launch pad area, then that will give me a great excuse not to write, because I'll be too busy doing that. Yeah. But I would quite like to make the second series, because it's kind of, we've got lots of established characters.
Yes.
And I'm saying this live on air as well, because Angela also thought, she was very much in praise of your voices, Mark, and that's something else, I think.
Really? Yeah.
She thought that you should pursue, try and get, because you're in New York, for God's sake. There must be lots of people making audio shows.
Yeah, well, I actually did. This was at Hester's prompting, because she's been quite good, saying, like, you know, you should really think about doing this.
Yeah.
And I put together a 5-minute voice reel from different things that we've done, but I haven't actually done anything with it yet. It's just I've done it. It's on the computer, and I actually forgot I'd done it. You just reminded me.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you've done it. You should get it. I hope you got some of the voices from Eternal Strife in there.
I've got a couple of them. It's mostly my normal voice, but I put those in just to show that I can do other things as well.
Just spin it out, mate. Spin it out. If anyone's listening, Mark is there and he does voices.
He
does voices. Done. Lovely. Okay, well, I think we're next week, actually next week is going to be the special that we've already done, is going to be re-specialised. I think the WWE special is going to go back to the top of the thing, because it is tying in with that show next week. But we'll probably do a show anyway, won't we? We'll even if we don't put it out next week. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah. Good.
Unlike you, it's like, well, nothing will happen. let's have one more song to finish with.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Go on then. What is it? What's the song?
It's, this is an artist named Jane Weaver, and it's a song called Heartflow. See you next time.
Bye-bye.